The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from New Hartford, Iowa. Participating in today's public affairs program are Mike Earle of KDSN Radio in Denison and Jason Brooks of the Newton Daily News. The first question will come from KDSN's Mike.
Senator Grassley, with the Iran nuclear deal in Congress right now and them looking at it, what do you see happening with that, and is there enough votes to override any potential veto?
At this point, it's very questionable, particularly in the House of Representatives, where it takes 291 votes to override. There's enough votes to pass both the House and Senate, I believe, although in the Senate, you'd have to have at least six or seven Democrats go along. That gets you over the 60 threshold. So then that would be on a resolution of disapproval. That's already been stated that after Labor Day, that's what the House is going to pass first, a resolution of disapproval. So 218 votes and then 60 votes in the United States Senate. Then the president, presumably because he thinks this is the best agreement and he's going to disagree with Congress, he's going to veto it. So then you get back, well, we have 67 votes in the United States Senate. And I would say it would depend upon what Senator Schumer of New York's going to do, because he, the new Democratic leader after Reid retires. And if he goes for it or goes against it, then I think it will it'll be overridden. And then I guess I'd have to say I don't know for sure that there won't be votes to override in the House, but I think it'd be pretty difficult there.
Senator, the Dakota Access Pipeline has been an item of much discussion here, and I realize that that's being decided at the state level, but I wondered if you would comment on how you feel that any precedent set with the Keystone XL pipeline project might affect the way that the Dakota pipeline approval process goes.
Yeah. Well, I think it's much more difficult for the Keystone pipeline because you got to have the federal government approval, and then you got to go through the approval process of every state that it goes through as well. And the only reason that the federal government's involved in the Keystone one is because it crosses the national boundary with Canada. That's how they get involved. Otherwise, you've got both the federal and the state. Right now, the states are ready to go with the Keystone, but in the case of the president vetoing our bill, and then he could, on his own determination, say that Keystone could be built, and it could be built without Congress saying so, because Congress has delegated that authority to the president if he wanted to use it. And I think the Keystone pipeline is probably for the energy independence of the country is much more important than the one you brought up. But let me suggest to you the one reason that you might want pipelines generally, not just the a Balkan pipeline, but also the one for Keystone, is because we're having all these accidents with so much oil being transported on rail, and it wouldn't be safer and less environmentally hazardous if we had the pipelines.
Senator, some news recently about the coal industry and coal-powered, coal-fueled power plants, that is, with the administration opposing those. Is that something that Congress will take action on, or there's already some states that are looking at not abiding by those rules? What do you see happening with that issue?
Well, the extent to which the states decide not to submit a plan, I think that's only a case of slowing things down. I think if states decide not to do that and the federal government, EPA, decided it wanted to do it, it could. Now, I would be an advocate for the states slowing it down, because I think there's a questionable legality of the rules put out by EPA. But the state obstacle is one if the states decide to do it, but just because states can not go along with it doesn't mean the states won't go along with it. Then you've got possible court action. brought by probably utilities and business interests that could challenge it, but that's going to take probably 2 or 3 years to get to the Supreme Court. But recently, you want to remember, the Supreme Court did say EPA exceeded its authority went on the mercury rule. So then you go to what we're talking about, the coal rule. You've got the court action. You've got possibly states slowing it down. You've got what we call a congressional veto, process with 30 senators sponsoring it, a motion of disapproval, and it's not something that has to have 60 votes because it's already predetermined by law that there will only be 10 hours of debate. So with 51 votes, you could nullify it that way. But that's got to go to the president, and the president would veto it, and he would in this case, so you wouldn't override the veto. So that gets you down to the third or fourth last thing, and Congress is going to do this on the appropriation bills, saying none of the money in the EPA appropriation bill can be used to carry out the war. I call it the war on coal.
The entire Iowa delegation seems to be in agreement on higher RFS. I wondered if you had a chance to talk to the rest of the Iowa delegation specifically about this, and what types of pressure can Congress enact on the EPA to change its mind about the requirements?
Well, the kind of pressure you have, you meet with the EPA director. We've done that already. You send letters.
Right.
The most recent one was 36 senators signing on to a letter in regard to biodiesel, not ethanol, biodiesel, that there's enough, that EPA can't argue that there's a blend wall there because you only mix 2 or 3% biodiesel with petroleum, and there's enough leeway there. So they can, their standards are too low for the years 16 and 17. In regard to ethanol, there's a practical thing that's just developed now that people are driving more, burning more gasoline. The blend wall was thought to be about 135 billion gallons a year, of which we would be able, EPA would say, well, the mandate of 14 3/10 billion gallons of ethanol, you're up against a blend wall. Well, that amount of use now of gasoline is up to about 145 billion gallons. So there's no blend wall for mixing in the 14 3/10 billion gallons that are required for this year under law, which EPA cut back, and which now it shows up that they shouldn't have cut back. So EPA is doing a lot of things that don't need to be done right now for the excuse that they're using.
We're hearing a lot about Planned Parenthood over the last couple of weeks. Is there anything that you think Congress will do in the coming months about funding or not funding Planned Parenthood?
Well, I think you're going to continue to have things tried that failed of the 60-vote necessity that we needed on Monday, and we only got 53 votes or something, maybe 54. Anyway, I think you're going to continue to have defunding. But there's another action that I'm taking even before the effort of defunding was talked about, and that is to write several letters to get information. In other words, I'm instituting an investigation of is the law being followed, basically, is what we're trying to find out, because there is some restrictions on what what Planned Parenthood can do in regard to this, and what the doctor profession can do. And basically, we wrote a letter to the Justice Department that we just got a preliminary response from, that they're going to try to answer our questions more precisely, and that is whether or not EPA is enforcing the laws that restrict the use of fetal material and how it's obtained. Secondly, we wrote a letter to the National Organization of Planned Parenthood and 55 affiliates and the companies that are buying the fetal tissue and trying to get information and maybe make some determinations based upon that information. I haven't reached the point where I'm going to have a hearing yet because we're going to wait until we get the answers back from our letters. But they, most of these people said they're going to respond to us, and they've hired counsel to help them do it.
Thank you, Mike and Jason, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.